participants are in a listen-only mode, and later we'll conduct a question-and-answer session with instructions being given at that time. If you should require any assistance throughout today's teleconference, please press the star followed by the zero, and one of us will be with you immediately. As a reminder, today's call will be recorded. I would now like to turn the call over to your hostess and your facilitator, Ms. Emily James. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Steve. Welcome to today's press call to discuss the NCAA Division II Committee on Infractions decision regarding the Cheney University of Pennsylvania. As members of the media, you should have received a link to both the press release and public report, which contains the details of this case. This information can also be found at ncaa.org. The Committee on Infractions is an independent group comprised of representatives across the NCAA membership and the public. Members of the committee who reviewed this case include Douglas Blythe, Professor of Sport Management, Southern New Hampshire University, John Paul Bradshaw, attorney, Julie Rochester, Chair and Faculty Athletics Representative and Associate Professor at Northern Michigan University, Harry Stinson III, Assistant Athletics Director of Compliance, Kentucky State University, and Jane Texiera, Assistant Commissioner and Senior Compliance Administrator, Pacific West Conference. Julie Rochester will now discuss the findings and decisions of the Infractions Committee. Following her opening remarks, she will take questions.
Thank you. The Committee on Infractions report details the findings and penalties in this case. Our comments today are designed to address your questions, however, the report stands on its own merit. This case involves the university's lack of institutional control over its certification processes, which resulted in numerous student-athletes competing while ineligible due to improper certification. Additionally, a former compliance director failed to monitor when she did not follow proper procedures in the certification of student-athletes' eligibility. Six student-athletes in several sports practiced and competed in their initial year without the university completing the academic certification process through the Eligibility Center. The university could not produce any documentation to explain why the student-athletes were allowed to compete without the certification. In amateurism certification alone, 109 student-athletes competed and received travel expenses and or athletic-related financial aid before the university received their amateurism certification status from the NCAA Eligibility Center. Additionally, a men's basketball student-athlete was allowed to compete while he was not enrolled in the minimum required credit hours and did not meet the appropriate progress toward degree requirements. The university utilized a campus-wide program that could verify full-time enrollment status, but it was not reliable, forcing staff to access student-athlete records by hand. The university did not have systems in place within the registrar's office to monitor full-time enrollment for student-athletes or to alert the athletic staff if a student-athlete fell below full-time status. Additional certification violations occurred when the university allowed a second men's basketball student-athlete to compete during his year in residence after transferring to the university. He was also allowed to compete after his fourth season of competition. Despite not meeting the two-year college transfer rules, two other men's basketball student-athletes were permitted to compete. And lastly, two football student-athletes competed after being certified as academic non-qualifiers by the Eligibility Center. The university lacked institutional control when it did not establish adequate compliance processes, monitor and evaluate its athletics program, and provide rules, education, and training to staff to ensure the athletics program complied with NCAA rules. The university did not maintain student-athlete records and did not establish policies and procedures to allow the university to monitor certification, which contributed to the lack of institutional control. A former compliance director failed to monitor when she neglected to follow proper procedures in student-athlete's eligibility certification. The failure resulted in violations of initial, transfer, and continuing eligibility certification, financial aid, and extra benefits involving numerous student-athletes in all of the university sports. Penalties and corrective measures, including those self-imposed by the university. Public reprimand and censure. 5 years of probation from August 21, 2014 through August 20, 2019. Relinquished voting privileges in the NCAA for 2 years, beginning on August 21, 2014. A postseason ban for all sports during the 2013-14 academic year, which was self-imposed by the university. a vacation of all wins in which ineligible student-athletes competed during the 2007-2008 through 2010-2011 academic years. The public report contains further details on the vacation. A five-year show cause order for the former compliance director. The public report contains further details. Attendance at an NCAA regional rules seminar each year during probation beginning in 2015 for the athletic staff members. And this concludes my opening remarks.
Thank you, Julie. Steve, can you please explain to reporters how they can ask a question?
Certainly, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a question, please depress the star followed by the one on your touch-tone phone. You'll hear a tone indicating that you've placed yourself in queue, and all questions will be polled in the order they are received. You may remove yourself from queue at any time by depressing the pound key on your touch-tone phone. And if you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before depressing the keys. Once again, if you have a question or a comment, please start the process by depressing star 1.
Seeing no question, that will conclude today's call. Thank you for joining us today. This concludes our comments. A recording of this teleconference will be available in the near future on the NCA website.